Okay, when I drive, I always get really nervous when I'm behind trucks that are carrying things. Logging trucks especially freak me out, but also those trucks that carry around cars. You know, there's always that one car kind of dangling off the end of the upper level, and you just figure, man, what would it take for it to slip right off and land in my windshield? Well, a few years ago, that actually happened to a young woman that I went to high school with. This nagging anxiety that I'd always dismissed as irrational was suddenly proven totally, tragically rational. Now, I realize I'm probably one of the few people in New England who's never gone skiing, but I'm guessing the rest of you snow sport enthusiasts out there had a pretty similar feeling when you learned that on Tuesday, a chairlift came tumbling down in Carabasset Valley, Maine. Five chairs plunged more than 25 feet onto Sugarloaf Mountain. Eight skiers were injured, including Rebecca London. She spoke to ABC News after the accident.
Well, I was riding the lift and then it stopped, which is completely normal. And then it started again and it stopped a second time. And then it kind of jerked backwards. And then all of a sudden I could feel myself falling and see the chair in front of me falling as well. It was just happening so fast. I didn't even realize what had happened until I was on the ground.
Fortunately, 22 inches of snow had just fallen on the ground, and so it was a lot softer than usual. Rebecca said that the trail below the chairlift is usually really icy. Now, obviously, this is a pretty rare incident, and we don't really want to blow it out of proportion, but we just felt like we really wanted to get a more detailed sense of technically what happened up there, just so that the next time you're riding up the mountain, you can complement those nagging anxieties with some actual knowledge. So joining us on the phone from his office in Boulder is Greg Dotrinco. He's the editor of Ski Magazine, which, not surprisingly, is following this story. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon.
We're also joined on the line by a guy who really knows ski equipment. His name is Jeff Like. He's the executive director of the New England Ski Museum, which sits at the base of Cannon Mountain in New Hampshire. Welcome to you too, Jeff.
Thank you.
So, Greg Dotrinco, editor of Ski Magazine, let's start with you. What do we know about what happened on Sugarloaf?
Well, they're still doing the State Tram Board is still doing their inspection on site. And from what we can tell...
Hold on a second. There's a State Tram Board?
Every ski state has some sort of tram board or tram commission. Maine has one. And ski lifts are very regulated. You just can't put up a ski lift and load the public on.
Well, that's
good. They're regulated both on where they can be sited, the technology used, and they have annual inspections, as you can imagine.
Okay, sorry to get you off track there. So they've started their investigation.
Right. What seems to have happened is a couple of patrol noticed that a cable had jumped a sheave or was improperly running. They went to check it out, called up some mechanics, and they tried to realign it, and that apparently didn't work. And then they suggested that they start the lift up slowly to unload the passengers. And after the lift was started slowly, again, to unlift the passengers, apparently the cable jumped the sheave and then the five chairlifts fell to the ground.
So the cable fell off of one of the supports, went slack,
right,
and then...
Yeah, essentially, if imagine a mountainside and there's this thick wire cable that runs from tower to tower to tower. And in general terms, if you know what a yo-yo is, more or less the wire runs between a yo-yo-like housing, it's called a sheave, on each tower, and the wire cable is that string,
gotcha.
More or less. So it has a housing and it has an alignment that is proper. Now, if something happens and the cable jumps out of the sheave or if the string comes out of the yo-yo, then you lose all control and support.
So the headline in the Boston Globe this morning was something along the lines of workers knew lift was unsafe just before the accident, but really what you're saying is it was literally like just before the accident. It wasn't the morning of the accident.
Right. From what I can tell, a couple of very good ski patrolmen noticed that something was wrong and the lift was running improperly, went to check it out, assessed that they could not fix it properly, ran the lift slowly to try to get people off. That didn't work, and then the chairs fell. The initial question is, why was the lift running improperly in the first place? They discovered that it wasn't working, and what the tram board will try to investigate is what happened.
I want to invite our listeners to call in. I'm just curious, folks, if you feel a little less secure dangling on the chairlift now? Does this incident make you feel worried, or do you just figure that this was an isolated incident and that's that? Curious how this is making you feel. Also curious if you've ever had any kind of lesser scare on a ski lift, like you get your snow pants stuck in the chair as it's pulling away, anything that freaks you out. Just curious. Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Greg Dutrinco of Ski Magazine, do the authorities think that the wind was to blame? Obviously, it was pretty windy this weekend and into this week.
Early indications are, because there was high gusting wind, that wind certainly was probably a contributing factor. Again, if you visualize this wire cable or thread, if it's by itself running up a mountain and there's gusts, there's not a lot of resistance. You put chairs on this cable and the wind gusts, and suddenly they almost act like little mini airfoils. You put people on the chairs hanging from the cable and they can catch a lot of wind. So what happens with a fully loaded lift and there's high wind gusts, they can ask as many airfoils and perhaps cause the cable to realign. Very unusual, but that can happen. What often happens is with high winds, there's automatic stoppages. The person earlier on the station noted that she had been in stoppages before. That does happen. If there's a high wind gust, sometimes an automatic braking system kicks in. The lift is stopped until the wind dies down again.
Oh, really? Do we know if this ski lift was equipped with that kind of system?
I don't know, but there are automatic safety guards in place.
That's interesting. As I can't believe I'm telling the editor of Ski Magazine that I've never gone skiing. I expect a lecture later. But
shame on you.
Yeah, I know. But like I just imagine. I mean, if the wind is enough to like send a chair, if the wind is enough to derail a chairlift, I feel like there'd be a period leading up to that point where the chairs would be rocking back and forth really violently.
Well,
wouldn't people be too freaked out to get on the chairlift in the first place?
Well, to be clear, that's a rare occurrence, and if winds are gusting really high, the weather reporting system these days are excellent. People, the resorts will not run the lift. There are wind stoppages all the time where they're literally not running the lift or they're downloading it. You will not run a lift with high winds. Also, as I noted earlier, you cannot just put a ski lift wherever you want on an exposed face of the mountain. They are regulated heavily, and ski lifts are sited where there are not wind gusts. There are safety concerns, of course, and the resorts want people to go up and ski. They're not going to put a lift where there's going to be a lot of wind stoppages. It is a rare occurrence, but there are safety inspections and safeguards in place.
Yeah, and it sounds like it is terribly regulated. That said, officials from Sugarloaf say that this particular lift was due to be replaced sometime in the future. So I guess what I'm curious about is, are there a lot of outdated ski lifts that we should be concerned about? When should a lift be replaced? This lift was, 30-something years old. Is that middle-aged?
It was installed in 75, and it was upgraded in 1983. That's not unusual. There are annual inspections, and there are regular maintenance schedules. So just because a lift was put in 75 does not necessarily mean it's outdated. The technology might be a little old, which means it's probably slightly slower. But I wouldn't suggest at all that an older lift is an unsafe lift. That's just not the case.
Now, Jeff Like, our other guest, you run the New England Ski Museum, and I presume that you are one of the very few people in the world qualified to give us a quick lesson on the evolution of the chairlift. So take it away.
Okay, thank you. The chairlift is actually an American invention dating to 1936. It was invented by an engineer working for the Union Pacific Railroad when they decided to develop a new ski resort at Sun Valley, Idaho. They actually invented a new lift form called the chairlift. And, it became the dominant lift form in the 1950s and 60s, even though at the time people thought that perhaps the aerial tramway that was, sort of a cable car that was imported from Europe would be the main ski lift. It turned out not to be the case.
Are any of the real vintage models still in use out there?
It's chairlifts?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, no. When they actually turned on one of the first two chairlifts at Sun Valley for testing in November of 36, the lift blew a fuse and left the riders stranded for a period of time up in the air, and it appears as if they hadn't really thought about how you get somebody down from up in the air if this happens.
Whoops.
I'm sure that right, you know, certainly by 1941 and probably right after that, they developed a plan to use you know, climbing ropes and mountaineering techniques to lower people down in harnesses and seats if the need arose. Something similar happened when they opened one of the first chairlifts in the East at Mount Mansfield, Stowe, Vermont, in 1940. And of all people, they this time they decided to run the lift before the season opened for the press, and they ended up stranding.
They stranded a reporter.
49 or 50 reporters. And again, with no evacuation plan in place. But right away, they figured out on an area by area basis how, you know, to deal with this problem of stranded passengers. Ironically, when Governor Averell Harriman of New York took a ceremonial first ride on a chairlift at Whiteface in 1958, Whiteface, New York, he was stranded for a time, and it was actually Harriman's company, the Union Pacific, that invented the chairlift in the first place. So, but all these little problems got sorted out, and by the early 50s, just about every ski area had evacuation plans in place. And then the, as Greg mentioned, you know, there is presently a quite a regime of regulations in each ski state that covers tramways, and that got going in the late 1950s.
Well, that's definitely good to hear. That said, I think we have a board full of callers here who have had their own little scary experiences on chairlifts. So here's Michelle in Northborough. Hi, Michelle. What happened to you?
Well, it was a freak accident, and on the lift in Killington, it was very windy that day, and the attendees at the lift were holding the chairs so everybody can get on, and as soon as I got on, the winds picked up, and I dislocated my right shoulder.
Ouch! That's crazy.
Yes, Adam, it is. And unfortunately, I yelled down to Ski Patrol that I've dislocated my shoulder. They didn't believe me 30 feet in. And then unfortunately, we were on the longest lift, so it took 45 minutes to get to the first aid station
wow.
at the top. Yes. During that ride, we stopped four times because the winds were so strong.
What did it feel like? How much pain were you in?
I can't describe the pain. I think I was in shock at first, but they had told me this is the most painful ski-related injury. And it was over an hour and a half till they finally got me down. But the winds are very scary, especially on the older model double or triple lift.
Yeah, you're not convincing me to go out and ski. So thanks for that, Michelle. not surprisingly, plenty of calls coming in from New Hampshire. Let's go to one from Kate in Auburn. Hey, Kate, what happened to you?
Hi. When I was about 8 years old, I was just learning to ski, and I was on the lift with my father. And when we were getting off at the landing area, he noticed that there was a ski pole that had been left right in our path. So a couple seconds, you know, before we were ready to go, he leans over to swat the pole out of the way, catches my head, knocks me over, and I have really long hair, and my hair got tangled in his skis. And so they had to stop the entire lift so that they could try and get my hair out of his skis, which, as a result, being that it was my first time skiing, kind of being a little bit afraid of the whole getting off the lift, not so much being on it. But
Yeah. Unfortunately, I doubt the regulatory regime really can govern your father's actions. Here's Ari from Beverly. Do you have a ski lift story, Ari?
Hey, yeah. I was actually at Wachusett the day before the Sugar Wolf incident happened, and I was on the ski lift, and the lights just went completely out. It was completely dark. The entire ski resort was in pitch black, and it actually happened twice that day. It happened 15 minutes before I was on there, and they just started running it back like, you know, no big deal. The lights went out. But once they figured that out, it was probably, you know, they ran it slowly, like the gentleman earlier was saying, and we got to the top finally. But we all had this, everyone that was on the ski lift had to snowboard and ski in pitch black.
Yeah.
Use the stars as light.
Well, that must have been kind of pretty.
It was, you know, if you knew what you were doing, it wasn't a big deal, but there was definitely a lot of people that just took their gear off and just walked down.
All right.
They weren't too happy about it.
All right, thanks, Ari. We're glad that everybody is down from their respective mountains. Greg Dutrinco of Ski Magazine, are these all just freak stories? Are chairlifts essentially safe despite the things that we're hearing?
Yeah, they're very safe, and they're not freak stories. We've all had some of those, especially those of us who've been skiing for a while. The industry has changed a little bit. But to give you a little perspective, since 1973, there's been about a dozen deaths attributed to ski lift accidents, and there are approximately 60 million skier visits a year. So if you do the math, it's pretty darn safe, no question about it.
Jeff Leick from the New England Ski Museum, I'll give you the last word.
You're much safer riding that chairlift than you are getting to the mountain in your car or leaving it.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Greg Dutrinco is editor of Ski Magazine, joined us from Boulder, Colorado. Jeff Leick is executive director of the New England Ski Museum in Franconia, New Hampshire. Stay with us. Coming up after a break, Boston Globe arts reporter Jeff Edgers is here to talk about the year in Boston culture, and we'll hear his picks for fun things to do on New Year's Eve. I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.